Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tonight's episode of America's Hometown Horror is brought to you by Omeo. Omeo is a travel booking platform that makes planning a journey in Europe and North America effortless. Just enter your travel details and Omeo will magically give you all of the train, bus, flight, and ferry options for your journey. It's never been simpler to book your first real vacation for 2021. Best of all, using Omeo saves you time and money. That's a win-win in our books. It's been a terrible year, 2021, everything's back open, time to go book yourself a vacation. And Omeo wants to help you leave your house this summer by offering 5% off your next booking. I mean, when you're talking about a vacation, 5% off a vacation expense can be pretty hefty, so that's a pretty good deal. Just head on over to Omeo.com, that's O-M-I-O.com, and use the code OMEO5, again, O-M-I-O-5, at checkout. Valid until July 31st for new users, so get ahead on that real quick. On all modes of transport, just the pick-me-up that 2021 needs. Omeo, plan, book, and love the journey. Terms and conditions apply.
Omeo, 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 Omeo.
What's that?
That song, that like 80s song, the Tarzan song.
Okay. I don't know if I know what you're talking about.
Omeo, Omeo, Omeo.
And we're back, baby, and away we go. What is up, folks? What is going on? It has been a little while, a couple of weeks. I think the longest break that we have taken since we started doing this show. But I've been incredibly busy, so apologize for the lack of content. But we are back, and we will be back over the next few weeks and for the rest of the summer, talking all kinds of things horror with you guys. My name is Mike. I am the host of America's Hometown Horror. And as always, I am not here in the studio alone. I am joined by my two good friends, my two great co-hosts.
Esteemed
co-hosts, I should say. There's Catherine. What's up, girl?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Good. Tired, but...
Yeah.
We've had a long couple of weeks.
Been a long couple of weeks.
But...
And also joined by Andrew. What's up, pal?
Not a hell of a lot. Just glad to... kind of relaxing.
I know. I guess define relaxing, or at least have nothing to do for a few days. But I think all things considered, you know, we kind of mentioned this in the last episode we did before we broke for everything. But had a busy few weeks, kind of getting ready for and celebrating the wedding of Andrew's brother Seth, who has been on the show before. And his lovely wife, Christine, they got married last week, avoided the tropical storm. Wedding went swimmingly, I say, folks. How about you?
Oh, I thought it was one of the best weddings I've been to in a long time.
It was awesome.
Absolute blast. The place we were at was pretty sweet, right on White Horse Beach down in Plymouth. It was a hell of a time. And I don't think it could have gone much better.
No, so. I thought it was perfect.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Every minute, yeah.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. So what else has been going on? Anything else besides that? I mean, I know that's probably consumed our lives over the last couple of weeks. I know 4th of July went well. I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It just feels like a blur.
I know. I feel like I don't even remember what we did for the 4th of July at this point.
I know we drank. Yeah. I can remember that.
Yep. Yeah. That's a lot of that. A lot of that. It was a very very celebratory wedding, we should say.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's lots of celebrating.
Lots.
So, hey, if you see Seth and his lovely wife, Christine, around town, wish them a happy marriage and say congratulations. But back to some things at hand here related to our podcast and our show. Had a chance to speak to our friend Tony from from Spooky World, the movie, I should say. All is going well with them, and I know that they are working on a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and I was told that we can expect a new website from them soon.
Woo!
Very, very quickly. And lots more fun things to come in the coming weeks. I think... everybody was kind of taking a break over these couple of weeks with the 4th of July and the summer season, and now people are starting to get back into everything. So.
Well, I feel like people, like, you know, because of COVID, didn't really take any vacation time, and now it's like, you think it's you're like, oh, it's summertime. I'm going to take a couple weeks. And then it rains every single day. Like,
yeah. That's the like, an extremely gloomy July.
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, this honestly, I can't. They said on the news the other day that, like, this is the most rain we've had over the first several days of July, like, in recent memory.
Right.
Since they've been keeping track. Yeah. Basically.
Which is just fucking terrible.
Well, it's rained 13 out of 14 days now at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it's Shark Week.
I know. I was just going to say, you were going to say, what have you guys watched? I'm like, Shark Week.
Yeah, we watched some Shark Week.
Some Jaws.
I feel like the content this year
we did watch Jaws, yeah.
Hasn't been that great so far from what I've seen. But there is one thing I have in the DVR that I definitely want to watch. And apparently it was a Jackass Shark Week special with Knoxville, Steve-O, and Chris Pontius doing stuff with sharks.
One of them got his hand bit.
I heard about that, actually. I didn't watch it yet, but I did hear there was a pretty big accident on it.
He was wakeboarding like over Great Whites, and his hand,
Sounds like something the Wild Boys with Pontius and Steve-O would do, because they're absolute lunatics.
Yeah,
used to love Jackass growing up, and they're absolute mental cases. Can't wait to watch that. And another thing of note, American Horror Stories, the anthology series, premieres this Thursday.
I've been seeing the commercials like all over the place. I think all I was over watching the Bachelorette last night over next door, and I saw a commercial for that, and I was like, wow, they're pushing this on like ABC?
Yeah.
Cool.
And, like, and you know, related to American Horror Stories, might have something special related to that coming up over the next several weeks with somebody that we've had on our podcast a couple of times, or one time, that might be a collaboration on that.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'll tell you guys about that in a little bit.
Okay. What are you
going to
tell everyone else?
Breaking.
Well, it's not. It's we don't have it. We don't have a little teaser. We don't have all the details yet, but I will tell you guys after the fact. Actually, it's so recent, I didn't even get a chance to tell you. So.
Okay. I know. I'm like, this is the first I've heard of this.
Yeah. So ready to get into some news, and then we'll hop into our movie tonight.
Sure.
A little bit of news. Not too much stuff this week, but a couple of things that you know should pique our interest. First piece of news, I should say, is that we got an announcement from the premiere Halloween event in the country, and that would be Halloween Horror Nights, based in Orlando. They're celebrating their 30th year this year, and they announced while we were away on vacation down at the Idlewild that we will be getting a haunted house based on Netflix's The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if I showed you guys that or not while we were down there.
You showed me that.
Yeah. Seeing that.
Yeah, but so kind of a cool little thing, but obviously, you know, Halloween Horror Nights was called off last year for obvious reasons, but they're returning this year for their 30th year, like I mentioned, select nights in September and October. And this will be the second house that was announced, in addition to Beetlejuice, which was a couple of months ago. I think we talked about that in the news a while back. But sounds like it's going to be pretty interesting from the description they gave. And I will quote here directly from the mouth of Universal Studios. Iconic scenes from the Netflix series will be featured throughout the maze, including the omnipowerful Red Room, the heart of Hill House, and the infamous Hall of Statues, where deceptive powers overtake anyone who enters. Apparitions will appear around every corner, from William Hall, the tall man, whose towering stature overwhelms everyone he encounters, to the ghost in the basement, to the bent neck lady, whose disturbing scream and ghastly appearance invoke a constant state of unnerving dread. So obviously, the Haunting of Hill House series was directed by Mike Flanagan, who did Dr. Sleep, Oculus, Gerald's Game, and also the second season of The Haunting show on Netflix, The Haunting of Bly Manor, which I did not think was as good as The Haunting of Hill House. Haunting of Hill House was phenomenal. Bly Manor was pretty good.
It wasn't as good, but we still watched it.
Yeah, we still watched it. And this house was actually supposed to be at the event last year, a year earlier, so it's actually already built and sat there pretty much for the entire year. So they were actually, when they made the announcement, able to share a few photos of like the outside of what the house looks like. And looks really, really cool. Looks awesome. So I asked you guys, you know, I think having both seen The Haunting of Hill House, would this work as a haunted house for you guys? Andy?
I think it'd be good. I think it'd be kind of fun. Different. I mean, it's a Haunting of Hill House, and it's a haunted house. So.
Yeah.
Throw the hill in,
yeah,
and there
exactly.
you go.
I mean, it's no brainer.
Yeah. It was definitely a slow burn show, but there was some pretty cool ghost and scary stuff in there that you can turn it into a haunted attraction, I think, pretty easily.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I thought it was cool that you turn around and all of a sudden you just saw something like creepy, like that you'd be like, oh.
Yeah, like all the ghosts, the random ghosts like in the background that you thought were like just workers at the house, and it turns out after the fact they were all just dead people that were inhabiting the house. Yeah, it was a really cool show. So.
Spoiler alert, I haven't seen that show.
Oh, I thought you have seen that show. No? Oh.
No.
Oh, all right. Well, now I feel bad. I thought you said you watched that. Did you watch Bly Manor?
I probably watched like a couple. I probably watched like a. No, I'm not. It's not a spoiler at all. I was saying spoiler on my end. I haven't seen it. I think I saw like the first couple episodes.
And you got bored and turned
it
off.
Yeah, kind of. Pretty much.
Seems in Lima. What do you?
You got to. You got to get me going right off the bat.
I know.
Like, you can't slow roll me.
Yeah. All right, well, that's what I got for news. It's kind of a lot of stories this week, but I think we have a good amount of ground to cover, and you know, I didn't really see anything else that piqued my interest too much, so I wanted to cover that obviously because I know it's an event, Kat, that you and I have been to a couple times, and like I said,
someday we'll
go back, but the premier haunted attraction event in the country is Halloween Horror Nights. So anytime they make an announcement with some sort of cool haunted house, it piques my interest. So hopefully you guys, your interest was piqued.
Yes.
Out there as
have
well.
Oh,
no,
it's
been,
peaked,
right?
Baby.
Peaked. I am peaked, ready to go.
You haven't been to the.
I've never been down there. No.
No, it's fun.
You should
it's
go,
really
though,
fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, if you're a horror fan, you got to go at least once, especially when they have you know good houses for a particular year. All right, ready to talk this movie?
Ready, go.
All right, so that means we are on to tonight's topic, and that would be kind of the talk of the town, I would say, right now, related to you know streaming services and. Been getting a lot of hype, a lot of publicity, a lot of buzz on social media. There are multiple of these movies out now, but we're going to be talking about the first one, and that would be Fear Street Part 1, subtitled 1994, because guess what? That's when the majority of the story takes place, is in 1994.
Nice.
When I would have been 8 years old, so right in the middle of my childhood. So there's some definitely some nostalgia feels in here. But as we usually do, let's just start off with, I guess, some spoiler-free thoughts and what you thought of this movie. Who would like to go first?
Can I just ask a question before
sure.
I talk about this? So when I was helping you with some of the facts on the outline, and it said, like,
mm-hmm.
It had, like, the new girl. And so does that mean, like, in each one, it said, like, you know, Fear Street sequels, and then it said, like, in parentheses, the new girl, and then it said part one, part two, part three. And it does feature, like, women, I would say, but I just don't know if you, like, do you know, did you hear that, like, or was that related to the books
or anything?
I have no
idea. It's probably related to the books.
Okay.
I think that might have been the title of one of the Fear Street books, which we'll,
okay.
obviously, we'll talk a little bit more about what this was based on.
Okay.
But who would like to give their thoughts first?
I'll go.
Because
I'm still talking.
Yeah, so you might as well keep going, yeah.
So my overall thoughts, I liked it. I do like slasher movies. I like Scream, you know, all those, like, and teenage movies. And, like, I loved Scream when I was a teenager, and
yeah.
I was kind of thinking, like, it's nice to have a new, like, more gory, for sure, like, version of Scream, but also hits, like, other movies that have gone out, so it's now more, like, modern twist.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, kids, like my age, like, teenagers, well, not my age, like, right now.
You're
but I mean,
teenager?
No, I mean, like, my age right now, but I mean, at that time, watching, like, a teenage scary movie, it's fun. Like, you know, you have a bunch of your friends over, and you're all sitting on the couch with popcorn, and, like, just watching a scary movie, and it's, like, all teen, I don't know. That's why I really like Scream.
Yeah.
So.
I think this definitely owes a lot to Scream, and, specifically the opening scene. I feel like there's a shot that's ripped directly from Scream.
Right.
Kind of essentially copies the exact shot. You know, like when the killer is chasing Drew Barrymore at the beginning and it shows her like running in slow
right.
motion. It was parodied in Scary Movie. But the same kind of thing with that character that gets killed in the opening scene. It's the same kind of like her running and the guy runs up and stabs her like from behind.
Right.
In slow motion almost.
Yeah.
So I feel like this movie definitely owes a lot to Scream. I think it definitely... Just like a lot of the stuff that's come out that is really nostalgia-focused, I think this owes a lot to Stranger Things,
yes.
even though it takes place in the 90s and not the 80s. I mean, you get the mall vibes, you get the retro soundtrack.
I loved the mall.
Yeah, the mall
awesome.
Was really cool at the beginning. I wish they had utilized it more, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I think it obviously draws inspiration from the books that came out, but it also draws a lot from... Some classic horror movies, I would say. There's some references, some Easter eggs, some nods, that type of thing. So, yeah, I agree with you there. Anything else you'd like to add before we let Andrew riff on his thoughts?
I'm excited to watch the other ones.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm ready for it to keep rolling.
Yeah.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling. What? Keep rolling, rolling.
Come on!
Was that in the sound? That wasn't in the sound.
No,
that was
Roland was.
That was in the 90s, though,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, no, that was like probably
2000s.
When chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water came out, I was in high school, so that was probably like 2002, 2003, something like that.
Yeah, like
01, 2002. Yeah, gotta be somewhere
in
that area.
I remember my friend burnt me that CD and mailed it to me, like in the mail. I was like, she's like, here, I didn't like this.
What
a waste of a CD.
I bought a copy of Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water. I had $3 Billy All, I had Significant Other, and I had Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I liked me some Limp Bizkit in high school.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Side note, and I may be incorrect, but has the price of a CD ever changed?
Probably not.
I feel like it's always like $12 or...
No, it definitely went up to like 20.
It used to be more back, I think, when we were in high school.
I feel like it was like... I feel like it was anywhere between, depending on what you bought, like 12 and 20, like dollars. Yeah. I never bought like the big popular CDs because I was too cool for that.
Too cool for school?
Yeah. I was like, where's the emo CDs?
They go down in price as they
so
like
I went to
aged.
Hot Topic to buy my CDs.
Oh, there you go.
But I mean, like, as they, if they were brand new, they'd be like 20, 25 bucks. But if you went and got like an obscure
20,
CD,
25 bucks? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it was?
Probably.
I feel like that's a lot.
I remember the last CD I bought, I think, was like 20. And I think I got to the point where I'm like, I can't afford CDs anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I would...
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I have so many. I had like a whole binder of
CDs. Last time you bought a
CD?
Couldn't even tell you.
Because I'm curious what they cost now.
Yeah.
They should be like free.
Honestly, I think the last one I bought was one of the Family Values Tour live albums because I was at the show that it was recorded at. The one with like Korn and Deftones and Stone Sour. I was at in Flyleaf. Chick lead singer, Andrew. There you go. There's a band for you.
I still wish I had a CD player in my car because...
See, I do. I do.
But I have no CDs left because I don't know where they... Oh, they're all scratched to shit or I don't know where they are.
Well, I mean, I guess it's like kind of a throwback experience, but you can also just connect the Bluetooth in your car and just change whatever songs you want. So,
yeah, but I like... There's something to be said about listening to a CD straight through.
Having it skip.
Yeah.
Not skip. No, but just like the entire... Like, no one listens to entire albums anymore in order.
Yeah.
You just listen to one song here, one song there, but... There's a reason why they made an album.
Yeah.
So it's meant to be played front. Yeah. And then there's songs that you would miss if you didn't listen to the whole album. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I listen to Dark Side of the Moon in its entirety.
Well, you guys are both right because, I mean, as a man who now owns a record player and is building a record collection slowly, there is something to be said about the retro aspect of that and listening to something the whole way through, which I can appreciate for sure. So, Andrew, what did you think of Fear Street 1994?
We rambled on so long, I forgot that I hadn't said anything yet.
We're just talking about Limp Bizkit and CDs. Yeah.
We went from rolling. I thought it was a very well done rendition of a teenage slasher movie, like you said.
Mm.
Played along with a lot of horror tropes in it, but also... It deviated in certain ways, which was good, I thought, which kind of made it more of a enjoyable watch because it wasn't just the same basic slasher movie.
Yeah.
So I did like that aspect of it.
You're talking about the paranormal elements in the movie?
Yeah. You don't see that. I mean, you do, but I'm trying to think. What do you see that in other...
I can't think of something off the top of my head.
Like
that, I mean,
slasher movies.
I mean, obviously, like, you know, Freddy Krueger, it's a slasher. Like Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
Nightmare,
but is that
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's...
There's some paranormal elements. And in Halloween, too, but like maybe not to this extent. I don't know. Maybe actually when you think
about
it.
Well, yeah, Evil Dead.
Yeah.
But that's... I'm saying like for a... I consider it like a... For a teenage slasher movie.
Yeah.
Even though Friday the 13th, I guess, is... Yeah.
Yeah.
I consider that more of a horror movie.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, though. This is definitely... This has more of, like, a teen... This feels like a movie that's geared towards, like...
Yeah, like you said, it's Scream. It's Scream with paranormal.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you there.
And the phone calls, too, and, like, the old school phone on the wall. Like, it's... Yeah. Honestly, like, it takes place almost in the same era.
Oh, yeah, well, I think... Well, Scream came out in, what, 90... 97? I think it is 96.
Yeah, I think it's
so. It's around the same era. But at the time when Scream came out, it was very self-referential to, like, old horror movies. But I don't think it was... There was nothing really, like, at a mall or anything like that. So this is a little bit different. This kind of plays more, like... I feel like they portrayed all the people in that movie. Yeah, they're in high school, but it's like, you know, Neve Campbell's, like, 28 years old in that right. movie trying to play a teenager.
These are actual teenagers.
I would assume that they're playing teenagers, you know?
Unless, like, that was Willis. Whatever his name is.
Who's Willis?
Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman.
Like Willis? Oh, what are you talking about?
Actual child actor. Yes, I did look that up. So, yeah, I agree with everything that you guys said. The paranormal elements were kind of what put it over the top to me, and I think the ongoing backstory and the lore that is teased throughout the movie that they clearly are going to pay off more on in the subsequent sequels.
Yeah,
is pretty interesting. Also a genius marketing ploy that they are, you know, able to make this one movie. I think it's a great idea. Make these three movies pretty much all at the same time and then release them within a couple weeks of each other and you just watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Kind of takes over.
Well, everyone likes a good binge. Yeah. Especially if it's just a short...
And it's summer. Really? These movies are meant to come out.
Easily. I mean, that I feel like that has a very big summer feel. And the second one, which we won't talk about here, we watched the first probably half hour of it and that is like... ripped from the 70s summer camp slasher horror.
Great.
Yeah, it's pretty good so far. I definitely want to finish it, and I'm going to probably watch all three.
It probably has like a Jason element to it because I mean what's the guy's name?
Yeah, with the axe in the back of his head.
It's like the same
guy.
Essentially.
Yeah. So I was a fan of this movie. Safe to say we all liked it to a certain degree, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, we don't have to go into a ton of detail here, but we're actually doing pretty good on time. We're flying. It's amazing what happens when you don't pregame too much to do these podcasts.
I did appreciate the gore a lot.
Yeah, the gore was... I was actually very surprised by that. It was way gorier than I thought. I thought it was going to be more like Stranger Things than it was like Scream.
Right.
And because Stranger Things is... It's very good. And it's got some horror-ish stuff in it, but it's nowhere near as graphic and gory as this was.
It's kind of polite. Like, it doesn't show certain things. It kind of implies things, which is just a different style of...
So, like, Stranger Things is the equivalent of, like, a PG-13, like, Steven Spielberg 80s horror, like, horror-ish movie, I would say. It's not anything like this, for sure. In terms of the gore and the violence, because there's some fucking nasty shit in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of blood. So, where would this stack up for you guys against some of the other stuff we've seen this year? Just ballpark. I think over the last couple of weeks, I had a chance to rearrange some of my thoughts, and I think I have my definitive order.
I have a lukewarm,
mild take here. Don't think this year has been very good for horror so far.
It's been okay. Average.
I still really liked Spiral, I think, the best.
I have Spiral as my one, and I actually moved Wrong Turn, that movie we watched, up to two.
I haven't seen that.
I have this at three, Quiet Place at four, because I think the more and more I think about Quiet Place Part 2, I think the less I like it. It was still good.
Solid movie.
Solid. Not great. Followed by Conjuring, Devil Made Me Do It, which I was not a huge fan of. And then Godzilla vs. Kong, and then Willy's Wonderland. For me, I know you guys didn't see Willy's Wonderland, but yeah, I just think it's okay so far. There's some bangers coming out soon, though.
I feel like it slid right in the middle.
Yeah.
It's like just like right there, it's still just kind of... It's nothing... There hasn't been like a...
No, not yet.
But there's going to be.
Not
yet. Because we know Candyman!
You're so excited Candyman
is
going to
be the best movie. I bet you the best horror movie of this year.
Yeah. Well, we got the trailer for Halloween Kills as well, the extended one. That looks really good.
Don't Breathe 2.
Don't Breathe 2 looks pretty cool. And then what was the other one that we got the trailer for, too? The new Edgar Wright movie, horror movie, Last Night in Soho. That looks pretty cool. But all that stuff's coming out closer to Halloween. So I don't know. I like. What would your favorite movie this year so far be?
I think I said it was The Conjuring. I think it still is.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Spiral. I think. Okay. I don't remember my list.
It I don't
probably
either.
Changes
I
depends
probably
on my mood, the many moods of Andrew Byers.
Yeah.
I'm telling you though, you gotta check out Wrong Turn. That Wrong Turn.
Just Wrong Turn. Is that Wrong Turn 4?
Nope. It's just called Wrong Turn.
And it's on
Wrong Turn. And it's it was on Showtime. We watched it that night. I think it's on one of the movie channels.
Yeah. That's not I'll
why,
find
that's
out.
That's why I don't have it.
But, yeah.
It was good though. I actually really was surprised because I wasn't expecting anything, and I was like, "Wow, this is like really
fucking
good."
Threw did, it I, on.
Did I talk about Unhinged yet?
Unhinged.
The Russell Crowe movie.
Oh, yeah. I talked about it with you. You talked about it to me. You haven't talked about it on the podcast. So yeah, tell us about Unhinged.
Not really a horror movie, but it's fucking horrifying. It's probably one of my favorite Russell Crowe movies because it's just fat Russell Crowe pissed off
Dad Bod
absolutely everybody. Yep. And the movie just starts off, this is probably a slight spoiler, but it's not really because it's the first scene of the movie.
Yep.
It's just Russell Crowe driving up to his house at night, and then he just goes inside, and you see him just light a giant fire and like basically burn his wife alive because she was cheating on him.
Oof.
And then it just goes into him being in road rage the entire movie, just being a lunatic.
Taking revenge on people.
Awesome movie. Yeah. It's from, like, you know how I said, you know, I need to be involved. You need to get me from the start. This movie gets you from the start.
Okay.
100%.
Fair enough.
Very well done.
So Unhinged with Russell Crowe. Making movies, fighting around the world.
Every time I hear his name now after watching that South Park episode, I'm always like, making movies, making music, fighting around the world. I'm Russell Crowe.
It's always a good South Park reference for everything.
Right.
Guys, want to talk about a little bit of the history of Fear Street?
Sure.
And how this all came to be with some factoids, some quickness factoids there,
the book nerd stuff to you.
Yeah, okay. So, full disclosure, probably one of the most influential horror things of my childhood came from R.L. Stine, and that just happened to be the Goosebumps book series. Loved them all, read them all, owned them all, and they're probably still at my parents' house somewhere, which I really want to try and find them. But yeah, Fear Street was kind of like his big other teenage horror series that he wrote, and it was, I think, skewed a little bit older than I was at the time that they were coming out, so I was more of a Goosebumps guy. I read all those. I'm kind of surprised I didn't read any, but I feel like I kind of went right from, like, reading Goosebumps to, like, reading other stuff, like the Amityville Horror. And then I jumped into Stephen King. So I kind of skipped over the Fear Street R.L. Stine stuff.
I went straight from reading books that I was instructed to read at school to just watching movies.
There you go.
You were better than me. I never even read a book in school. I had Spark Notes, Cliff Notes.
Oh, you never? Yeah. I probably read half of them. And I probably did the same thing, Cliff Notes and all that stuff for the other ones.
I only read The Green Mile. I remember reading that in
Senior,
I don't think I ever got lower than a B on a book report.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't read it.
Yeah.
Because I bet you someone else's interpretation or notes on the movie are most likely better than mine.
Yeah.
So.
Plus, I mean, essentially these days, kids don't know how good they have it. You had to, like, look all over for Cliff Notes. I feel like you could just go on to YouTube and Google or search for a fucking book report on, like, Of Mice and Men.
Or you could just watch a 15-minute review about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I got this.
Okay, got it.
Yeah,
got
movie reviews. Notes. There you go.
I got all the formulas.
But they don't have
Let's
the
go.
Book
Let's
reviews,
ace this book
though.
Report, baby.
There's no. There's probably videos on book reviews.
I'm sure.
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there is.
Of course there is.
People
there's
read,
fucking
right?
YouTube shit for everything. So, yeah, no doubt in my mind. But I digress. So yeah, Fear Street is a teenage horror fiction series that was written by American author R.L. Stine, Robert Lawrence Stine, I believe is what it stands for. So it's actually a little Easter egg for him at the beginning in the bookstore, which is a B. Dalton in the mall.
Yes.
One of the books on the shelf behind them is a reference to R.L. Stine. It's by Robert Lawrence. Those are his first two names. So he started writing these books back in 1989. And as I mentioned, Stine is most famous for the Goosebumps book series, which there were a ton of them. Also been made into a couple of movies. There's a 2015 movie with Jack Black and then a sequel, which I don't know how.
Yeah,
I never saw this. I actually really liked the one with Jack Black.
Yeah,
I mean, it was definitely geared towards a younger audience, but it was cool. I liked
anything
it.
Anything with Jack Black is usually pretty cool.
I know, yeah. It's Jack Black playing a fictionalized version of R.L. Stine, so it's pretty cool.
That's interesting.
Pretty cool. Yeah, but like I was saying, I could even argue that, you know, aside from a few other things, Goosebumps might have been the most influential horror thing of my childhood. And I used to get them all at Annie's Bookstop in Randolph, baby. Wow. The day they came out, I would reserve a copy, and then my mom.
Walk right down there.
No, I wouldn't walk. My mom would drive me over there. Then I'd walk in and pick up Haunted Mask, Welcome to Dead House.
Did you ever buy them when they had the book fair?
Monster
the,
Blood.
I got the brochure for
the brochure.
To be at the I always got like the science. Like
I used to buy like Goosebumps bookmarks at the book fairs and stuff, and all kinds of wacky shit. So
I would get like erasers.
What's a book fair?
A book fair.
I think I got erasers and those pencil grippers.
Yeah,
you would buy erasers.
Nothing, no books at the book fair, just other things.
Yeah, other thing they have at the there book fair besides books.
Yeah. So in 1995, a series of books inspired by the Fear Street series called Ghosts of Fear Street was created for younger readers. And were more like Goosebumps books. These, again, I missed these. In the sense that they featured paranormal adversaries like monsters, aliens, werewolves, what have you. And they sometimes had twist endings. And this is the specific series that this movie and the subsequent sequels are based on. The Ghosts of Fear Street series of the Fear Street books. Okay, Stein actually stopped writing Fear Street after he finished the Fear Street Seniors spinoff in 1999, so that must have been about high school seniors. So 1999 they ended, but like all things, they come back after a little while for some more money. Back in 2005 in the summer, he brought Fear Street back with a three-part Fear Street Nights miniseries. Also released a few more books in 2014. So there's been a few of them, you know, since.
Do you know how long these books are? They like 100 pages? Are they like a quick, like,
they got to be real short.
Yeah, probably short.
100 pages
probably
short. Max.
I mean, maybe 120? Goosebumps are maybe 120 pages.
Yeah, that's like a good number.
Yeah. I just love the covers of all the Goosebumps books. They were all fucking awesome.
I do love the cover artwork. Yeah.
Artwork. I'd love to get a big collage of all the covers somewhere and just slap
don't.
It right here on the wall.
That'd please be dope.
But as of 2010.
I like it.
As of 2010, Fear Street has sold over 80 million copies. So, just like everything else that R.L. Stein writes, been pretty successful, Andrew.
Nice.
What do you think those books cost to buy now?
I don't know. I mean, I guarantee you...
You can probably get it on eBay for like $4.
I mean, there maybe might be a collector's item at this point for the original covers and artwork.
Well, those if they have original stuff,
Yeah, that could be. People collect everything, so...
Yeah. I'd be interested to know.
Did they have the covers that had like they were like kind of embossed, like you could touch them and they?
So the actual when you ran your fingers over the Goosebumps
raised,
titles, it felt like Goosebumps.
Yeah.
You can buy Goosebumps Harlan Collection by R.L. Stein, 18 books on Amazon, $52.99.
Okay.
So you could probably, but they're not probably.
But like paperback.
Those are paperbacks.
That's a paperback.
If it's the original artwork, that's not that.
Probably
bad.
The original artwork.
Yeah.
Outwork. Yeah, they look reasonable.
Okay.
And then you can just make a little collage on the wall.
Okay, just stick them all right in the wall.
I
anything
love
about
it.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, pumped? Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So back to Fear Street. So there was actually an attempt at making a TV series.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's based on these books back in 1997. At some point before it was, when it was in development, Viacom... I think who is a division of Nickelodeon and Paramount and all that, or
that sounds
all
right.
Under Paramount, but
yeah.
They inked a development deal with Parachute Entertainment to produce a primetime TV series based in the Fear Street books. Soon after it was greenlit, Disney, who owns ABC, bought the rights to the Fear Street pilot. And then the pilot episode, which was shot for the ultimately unproduced Fear Street TV series, which was titled Ghosts of Fear Street, aired on ABC on July 31st, 1998. And the result? ABC's worst rating on record in that slot, and a third-place finish for the night in homes and adults 18 to 49. So it did not do too well back in the day.
Not this time.
It bombed. It bombed. And, yeah, everything kind of died off with Fear Street for a while, and then, as we mentioned, you know, there's also a Goosebumps TV series that was, you know, used to be on Fox, I
believe. I remember
that.
We talked
about
that
before. It's now on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on the 80s and 90s horror-themed TV shows. It wasn't a cartoon, but it was live action.
Oh, right. Sorry. Sorry.
So that was on, and then obviously, you know, as some of these properties get a little bit older, they come back up in the cycle of pop culture. That Goosebumps movie gets made, and they're probably like, hey, RL, got anything else you want to give us the movie rights to? And then on July 2nd, 2021, a trilogy of films based on the series began being released weekly on Netflix, which of course started with Fear Street Part 1, 1994, which is why we are here today together.
When did they finish?
I think it was 1999. I think they filmed them back in 2019, pre-COVID.
And they did like pretty much all at the same. They must have just banged them all out.
Excuse me.
Can we make that acronym a thing, being like PC, pre-COVID?
PC, pre-COVID?
Yeah.
Or PC.
Precy.
Precy.
P-COV.
I'd go the pre-COV.
All right, make it a thing. Yeah, go for it.
Pre-COVID?
I like pre-COV. That's pretty good.
All right. So with that being said, before we jump into our categories, just a reminder, folks, that tonight's episode of America's Hometown Horror is brought to you by Omeo. Once again, Omeo is a travel booking platform that makes planning a journey in Europe and North America effortless. Just enter your travel details and Omeo will magically give you all the train, bus, flight, and ferry options for your journey. Don't make any treacherous journeys!
I knew the inside joke was coming. That woman on YouTube.
Yeah. So it's never been simpler to book your first real vacation for 2021. And best of all, using Omeo saves you time and money. That's a win-win for us in America's Hometown Horror. Time and money, baby. Not infinite resources, so when you can save either, it's a good thing. Omeo wants to help you leave your house this summer by offering 5% off your next booking. Just head over to Omeo.com and use the code OMIO5, that's O-M-I-O-5, at checkout. This offer is only valid for through July 31st, because you know they can't be doing it all day, and it's for new users only.
So,
it's just the pick-me-up that 2021 needs. Omeo, plan, book, and love the journey. Terms and conditions apply. Come on, you tell me you don't know what that's from?
No.
That's from Jack Chop.
Omni. Definitely.
Because you know we can't be doing this shit all day.
Definitely
like, order a fucking Jack Chop,
dude. There's people listening that are like, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah,
but I didn't
great.
Pick up
it's a
like,
great.
Wait,
yeah.
I was like, what?
Rob a pharmacy, take some OCs.
I know,
or drink a strawberry quick.
I'm pretty sure it sounds like Omni has the formula.
Jack Chop. Omeo's got the formulas for your vacation, boys and girls. They got all the formulas. All right, category time. We ready?
Ready.
Let's start out with the cat category. And the cat category, as always, is whether or not this movie was scary. Catherine, take it away.
I feel like if I was younger, I'd think it was scary. I don't find it to be scary. Yeah. I mean, I
guess. How much
not...
younger? Like 3 years ago? Yeah.
No, like if I was a teenager.
Like 6 months younger?
Like last week?
Yeah.
Younger?
No.
Pre-birthday younger?
No. I just, I...
18 you'd find the scary?
Because of my nitpicks, or which I'll get to later, 13. I will tell you why it's not scary. That's all.
Okay. So not scary.
So no, I'm going to go with no. It's not scary.
Yeah, not scary. But again, not scary, but way gorier than I expected, and some pretty great kills.
Oh, yeah.
Which my favorite scene actually involves my best kill, so maybe I'll wait for that. It's probably all
you all are going to have the same, so I picked a different one for a completely different reason.
Okay. I picked a different scene, too, but I do have the best death. I think we all agree on what that is.
Yeah.
I don't know if you wanted to skip to that part.
I mean, we can. All right, well, go ahead.
Sorry. What?
I said, okay, go ahead.
Oh, it's the girl who gets her head in the meat
The bread slicer. That was fucking
gross. That was
gross.
I did not see that coming. I was like, she's going to get out of this.
Yeah, she's going to get out of that.
I didn't see her dying, so I was like, oh, she's going to get out of that. And I was like, aw. And I was bummed out.
Yeah.
I was bummed that she died because she was a very good character that was helpful.
They didn't expect to die.
Shouldn't have died.
No.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was.
Which I appreciated.
Yeah, it was kind of. It was. It was. I was kind of shocked.
I was fine with the other.
I was about as shocked as I could have been during this movie. This isn't a movie that's like shocking, like Hereditary or something like that. But I was like, damn, I was not expecting that.
Not expecting that.
Nope.
At all.
And you see her
out of absolute nowhere.
Yeah.
You see her like struggling and going through it, and you don't think. Well, but you said you think she's gonna like make it out. But I also didn't think they were actually gonna show her head getting shredded in the slicer.
Yeah.
Like. I was like, oh my god, they show... Because I thought they could have at least cut away.
They did a really good... That was a really good...
that was insane.
That wasn't CGI.
That had to have been practical effects.
That looked very practical.
I mean, that was clearly a real... That was probably a real bread slicer with some sort of prop, something set up in there. That was... Yeah, that looked great. And I feel like...
A ham going through
it. Okay. Oh. I mean, obviously the parts where, you know, they light all the monsters on fire and they all melt and then they all come back up out of the shit. Like, that's CGI, but, like, I feel like this, there was a pretty good amount of practical effects in this.
Yeah, the axe
like, when that doctor... Yeah, the axe kill in the head with the blonde kid, who... More on him in a future category. But what's the other one that I was thinking of? When they're in the hospital and that doctor gets the knife, like, right in his neck and just, like, dumping out blood everywhere. That was, like, I was like...
He stole my second choice.
Oh, was it? I'm sorry.
But Dr. Betty, right? B. Eddie or whatever. It had, like, a B in front of it. Was he, like, a drug dealer?
The one that was the one that was helping the girl deal drugs. Yeah, I picked up on that too. Yeah.
But that was probably my second favorite death for the sheer fact that... How many drugs was that guy on? Because... You're walking down a hallway. You hear people screaming.
Yeah.
You turn around the corner, and there's the black receptionist.
What's going on?
Like, massacre. And the guy's sitting there. And he's just like, what's going on? Jammed right in his neck like an idiot. I'm like, you're an idiot. What are you doing?
Yeah, that was kind of weird. But, actually, I had an alternate favorite scene, too. So we talked about our best kills, best deaths in this movie. I thought the opening scene in the mall was also very, very good.
Because it was nostalgic, too.
It was nostalgic. It's, you know, the lady's buying a book from B. Dalton.
Right.
It's got Maya Hawke in it from Stranger Things 3, who's Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's daughter, which, Jesus Christ, she looks exactly like fucking Uma Thurman.
She's not in this. She's in the second one.
She... No. You're thinking of a different girl from Stranger Things.
The redhead?
The one that works at the ice cream shop with Steve. At Scoots Ahoy.
She's in this?
She's the girl that gets killed in the opening scene in the mall that works at B. Dalton. That's Maya Hawke.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. You're thinking of, in Stranger Things 2, the redheaded girl.
And she's in the second
one. She's the second one. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I didn't even recognize that. Yeah. I didn't even pick up on
that. So they're both from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
But I get, you know, it's playing to nostalgia. Clearly references Scream directly. That's the scene I was talking about. The girl that gets killed, she's running away, and the guy runs up and it's in slow motion. He stabs her in the back and all that.
I have a huge nitpick with that.
Really?
That scene.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it later.
Okay.
Nitpicks. Teaser.
But also.
Do I get a scene?
Yeah, of course. But can I finish my thought?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, you know, you're buying books in B. Dalton. In the B. Dalton, there's lots of books that would have been around at that time that you can pick up on, like some Stephen King stuff, some Tom Clancy stuff. Obviously, you get the R.L. Stein reference I mentioned earlier with the Robert Lawrence book. Like, that was clearly a direct reference to that. And then you have that the one that ultimately ends up being the killer, you know, bring her like an Orange Julius, and I feel like they might have showed a couple of other stores in the mall.
I liked the Blacklight store because it was just like Spencer's.
Yeah, Spencer's or Hot Topic, like that type of thing.
And I'm like, oh, I remember when they used to just have like dark stores with Blacklights, a section of it.
Dude, yeah. I think there's going to be a time when malls make a comeback strictly because of that nostalgia feel, where people will be like, you know, like when we went bowling the other night, they had a video arcade in the back.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fucking blast.
That was so awesome. Much fun.
That was a great way to end our vacation.
Like, sometimes it's nice to go out and do something. So, if you want to shop, I feel like if I want to shop, I would rather go to the mall than go on Amazon because I'm like a spontaneous buyer. Like, I need to see something and go, oh, I want to buy that. I don't know what the fuck I'm looking for.
There's also something to be said for instant gratification as well. Because if you order something on Amazon, you got to wait for it. Because, waiting sucks. But like,
you got to wait like a whole 24 hours.
Exactly.
But then like, if you're buying clothes, you can't try them on either. And you just hope for the best. And then it's an extra step if you have to return it.
Oh, yeah. Because I bought like a box of clothes one time. And it was so tight. And like, I was like ripped immediately. I was like,
fuck.
It was from like China. I was like, what the fuck? A waste of money. This was like 8 years ago. And I'm like, never buying clothes online again.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Unless it's a t-shirt.
Yeah. But I mean, anytime you open a scene and clearly set in the 90s in a mall and they, you know, cut to the scene and they blast some Nine Inch Nails in your face, I was like, yeah,
yeah, that was awesome.
Fucking in, baby. Let's fucking go. More on the music later. That might come up again. So, all right. So, what was your favorite scene?
Oh, I was going to say, well, it was the, you know, the bread slicer.
The bread slicer one, but you can talk about something
besides
else.
Besides that, I actually really liked the scene where Dina realizes that she still has to kill Sam and, like, looks at the lobster case.
Yeah.
And tank. I'm thinking... Tank, whatever. And,
has water in it.
She's, like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, what does she think she's gonna do? Like, is she gonna have, like, have the lobster, like, bite her face off or something?
That's what you thought
I
when you see that.
Like, I don't understand.
That's the thought that went into your head. And you, how fucking high were you? No, you didn't think she was gonna drown her?
No, I was like, what? And then she, all of a sudden she's there and she's like, I'm like, oh my God, she's going to drown her.
I could see if it was actually a lobster case, like a briefcase filled with lobsters, no water, how you could think that. It's a tank filled with water and she needs to kill her. You know, maybe she'll use the lobster.
There was a lobster in
but
there.
But what's she going to do, cut with the lobster?
Well, there was the I one. There was the
know.
One random shot dead. Of.
Well, yeah.
There was the one random shot of that lone lobster, like walking down the aisle, like freed from the tank, which I thought was kind of weird. So
that's because she took it out.
That's a weird. That's a weird thought to go to
the lobster. Yeah, the lobster tank. Because she's like, I'm gonna drown you, but I'm gonna be courteous and not do it with a lobster in here. Things like poking her in the eyeball. They should have actually done that. That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah.
If it was just like biting at her ears.
But she's like drowning her, and then I was like, wait, why didn't they just think of that from the beginning instead of the guy like being like, take these pills and then wait 5 minutes and take these pills and then do that?
You know why?
Like, why?
Because
didn't
it's
drown
yeah, that was
movie.
That was fucking stupid.
Yeah, that was so stupid. Yeah. And like, I don't think you need to take. Do you need to take that many different pills to
no,
fucking
I don't
OD?
Think so.
Seems like a lot. And why wouldn't you give her a glass of water to take the pills with?
Yeah.
Instead
shoving
of just them in
shoving
her face.
Six pills down your throat. Mm. First off, I think that's impossible because those were huge pills.
Mm.
You would be choking. So that would have been a good way to kill her.
Right. Just
here,
choke.
Why don't we just jam a loaf of bread down your mouth? You're in a grocery store. Why they didn't think of just knocking the person out by like, strangling them or drowning them?
It's kind of
silly.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would have been a weird... Because then the movie would have been over. Also, another big... We haven't gotten to this one, but now I got another one, but I'll wait for
are
it.
Are we
it's a pet peeve. This is a nitpick.
We can start nitpicks.
Yeah, sure. I guess, yeah, we can go to nitpicks, and then we'll go out a little bit out of order here. So, yeah, Andrew, get the nitpicks going. What's up?
Okay, so my nitpick is they get in the ambulance to escape from the monsters after they tried to light him on fire.
Yep.
And they didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally realize we have to kill her. Okay. I'm pretty sure ambulances have defibrillators.
Yeah.
To resuscitate people.
Yeah,
also,
good point.
Why don't you drive around while she's doing all the drugs instead of hiding in a grocery store, kill her in the ambulance, and then use the defibrillators to bring her back to life. Yeah. And the movie's off.
Okay. Otis got all worked up.
Movie, done. Like, sorry. That's too obvious.
Otis didn't like that part either. Sorry, Otis. Yeah, that was dumb. But again, I think you have to... I guess they're all teenagers, so they probably had to come up with some convoluted
they're
plan
all teenagers,
that made sense to them.
It was like a wizard and knew everything about everything.
Yeah,
so
I know. He was
figured
a,
he should have
a borderline genius.
I could see the blonde kid that's the drug dealer not figuring that out.
Oh, he was my nitpick. I fucking hated that kid. He was a terrible character. I thought he sucked. He was a pain in the ass.
Fucking loser.
He had like the same like annoying like escalating tone and cadence of his voice with everything that he said. That just it just drove me insane.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Shut up. Shut up, kid. But nitpicks, Kat, anything?
So I didn't like the whole idea where they were in like the bathroom in the high school and like they were just like, yep, people got murdered last night, and then there's like graffiti all over the walls and like they're just talking
they're
so
just
casually about everything.
They're used to it.
I know, but it just bothered me. I was like, people aren't bothered by this at all? Like it bothered me. That bothered me.
Yeah, and I get that they were trying to portray the difference between Shadyside and Sunnyvale, right?
Yes.
Like, obviously, one's the rich place, one's the not-so-rich place. But, that was a little odd. It was also odd how easily they could just, you know, steal guns and cop cars and break into the high school and break into grocery stores, and there's never anybody around.
Right.
So...
sometimes I wonder if there was, like, a zombie apocalypse during this movie, because you're like, where is everybody?
Yeah.
Another...
There's the cop, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Right.
So another so something that's very similar and is like a theme in Halloween that's been written about, like the original Halloween movie, is that there is almost entirely a lack of an adult presence
right.
or parents
yes.
in the movie.
Yep.
And that is also true in this movie. Yeah. So like in Halloween, you get Annie Brackett's dad, the chief of police, right? He's probably the one.
Right.
But you never see Jamie Lynn Curtis's parents. You never see any of the other parents anywhere. They're all just gone.
The doctor.
It's just Dr. Loomis, I guess. And but
there's a few adults, but they're not in charge of watching people.
Right.
Well,
right.
I mean, technically
so,
they are.
That's yeah, and I feel like that's supposed to make everything scarier in the sense that these kids are alone. You know, pretty much on their own. Same thing with Dina and what's the brother? Dina and Josh.
Oh yeah.
You never see their dad the entire movie,
right?
And
he's
you don't,
at home,
you don't know, yeah, and you don't know what's up with the mom. You're to assume she either left or passed away or whatever.
They make some sort of comment about the dad or the mom in the movie, though, and I can't remember. It's like a one line about the dad or something. So they do bring it up, but it's for like
a split second.
It's basically like he's a loser. He's not.
Yeah,
here.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I love that they had the old school Bud Light cans just shoot everywhere because I definitely remember those from the 90s. The old school Bud Light cans. You'd know if you saw them. What was your nitpick about the opening scene of the mall?
Oh, yeah. Opening scene of the mall. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm mistaken. So all this stuff starts to happen, and she's, like, trying to get away, and then she finally sees him, and he stabs her once right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Never would have known that other than the fact that he hit her with a knife. I would
in the stomach, but I believe, right?
That was the second stab, and that was not in the knife. That was almost as if he gutted her, it looked like.
Mm.
Like, it was, like, across the belly.
Yeah.
She seems fine.
Yep.
Crawls in. He finds it because he sees the bloody handprint on the like cover of the door, like the shade.
Yeah.
Then she gets up, starts running. I'm like, you got stabbed once somewhere, then you got gutted, and you're acting as if nothing happened until he jumps from behind. It was the most ridiculous death scene I've ever seen. I'm like, did she? I thought because when you go into Netflix, the intro. Where the description of the movie is like a prank gone wrong, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started watching this movie and when she got stabbed the first time, I was like, oh, he's using like a fake knife or something. It's like, this is the prank. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, if it was a fake knife, wouldn't she realize that? And but she kept running away as if she wasn't actually being stabbed.
Right.
Or wasn't stabbed.
I thought that when he first stabbed her, there was a book there. Like, he didn't actually
stab
her.
There was a book that prevented her from going
into
her
stomach. She definitely got gutted on the second time.
Well, she didn't get up the second time.
He might have done the thing.
She got up and ran away.
Where he didn't. Oh. It didn't go like all. He might have like swiped at her and caught a little bit of skin
maybe
on the
that's
maybe.
What it was.
So she
but
was probably bleeding, but not
it still
gutted.
Looked as if she didn't get even cut.
Well, again, this is. I think that whole scene is supposed to be a riff on the Drew Barrymore opening scene
from
Scream. 100%.
Makes sense.
The biggest actress probably in the entire movie is killed within the first 10 minutes.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, in a very similar way. With the phone involved,
with Drew Barrymore.
Let's be honest, a very similar costume to Ghostface.
Yeah.
Incredibly similar.
Well, so that was, can I roll into that?
Yeah, of course.
That was one of my nitpicks, was I felt like the villains were really lacking any sort of creativity or like...
Was it intentional?
I understand. It might have been.
I don't know how faithful they are to the original books, because I don't know. That's very possible. I'm not familiar enough with them to know.
Boring. I was like, oh, well, that's the Scream guy, and that kind of guy has an axe with a sack over his head, and then, like, this girl's just singing, and she looks like Harley Quinn in a weird way. Like, I don't know.
Honestly, some of the creatures, monsters, killers, whatever, that they showed in the flashbacks, like, when they were talking about everything that happened in, like, the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, actually looked cooler than any of the others.
Guy?
The milkman guy? The weird kid that had, like, the weird mask on. That thing looked
cool.
That would
have been cool.
Well, maybe
we'll see him in the other ones.
Ones, yeah.
Because now we're going back further in time, so then the 1956 one's going to be a lot more relevant. It's going to be the way they talked about the 1978 one and this one.
Possibly. That's actually a good point. Yeah, and then the only other nitpick that I had was that Dina's voice, the main character, her voice annoyed the fucking shit out of me. I don't know why. Just the way she talked.
She annoyed me
in general. Some of the things, like her inflection kind of just... drove me bananas.
I agree with that.
So, okay, so we have covered, let's see. Oh, okay, so I guess we didn't really talk about cast stuff yet. How do you think this was for a group of teenage actors? Do you think everyone was okay for the most part? Is there anyone that you didn't like? I didn't like the blonde goofball.
Well, I didn't like Dina, and I didn't like the blonde guy.
Yeah, they both were kind of annoying in certain ways.
Like, they
could
have done without him. The other characters were good, I thought.
Yeah.
They did a good job.
Yep, okay. Fair enough. So, Kat, was there anything about the cast that you liked or disliked?
It felt like if anyone, like, I was going to replace, Well, in general, I thought the cast was, I don't know, kind of boring. I didn't find anyone to be like, oh, I really like this character. They were all kind of like just there.
Yeah.
Acting, doing their thing. I didn't find anyone to be like, wow, I really like that character.
And you know who I really liked?
Who?
The little brother. He was the best character awesome. In the movie.
He was probably, he was absolutely the best. Because he was just, I'd say he's cool. But the rest of them, I was like, they're fine. Yeah.
Sam was more annoying than Dina. Dina's voice annoyed me. So, like, little things about each one of them kind of annoyed me a little bit. But overall, whatever.
That's kind of a huge nitpick, though, because the two main characters in the movie were both annoying, and they got everybody else killed. Yeah. So they can go fuck.
They did kind of, like, they kind of did get everybody else killed.
Well, and the whole time, they were like...
They did nothing deserving of being the finale, the final ones, except for Josh.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But it was funny, because, like, they said at one point, the whole group was like, well, they don't want us, they just want her.
Yeah.
And then they try so hard to, like, help her out.
Yeah.
And they end up dying.
Yeah. Well, I get it, though, because I feel like at the heart of this story is a love story about Dina and Sam. So I can understand why you'd kind of want to have those two and Josh as the last people standing. Yeah, I get standing, that,
but could you make them a little less worse?
They could have
kind of like, hey, I like these people, not hey, they killed everybody.
Right, right.
Give them some redeeming qualities.
I agree. So, all right. Haunted attraction. Would this work?
Oh,
I say yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, school, you could do when they were in the school and they...
School, the mall.
The mall.
The grocery store.
Yep.
You could do a bunch of stuff with this. I think
a lobster case.
The lobster.
The lobster case. Yeah, the ambulance. The death by lobster.
Yeah.
Yep. Also a good variety.
Just, like, the street, like where the girl was.
Yeah,
she was, like,
I would say good variety of, different types of killers locations. And ghosts, monsters, whatever they actually are.
You could make that scary.
Could work. Honestly, I feel like this is really popular, and Halloween Horror Nights, as referenced earlier in this episode, has a working relationship with Netflix. They've turned two seasons of Stranger Things into haunted houses.
Right.
They're now turning The Haunting of Hill House into a haunted house. And there was actually talk they were going to turn that Sabrina series that was on Netflix into one, too. Didn't happen, but I could see it personally.
Well, they could also... Because all three are coming out so close to each other, they could incorporate all three.
They could.
Right.
They could have, like, a camp, one of them, because I'm assuming that's going to be a part.
Yeah. Yep.
You could have the milkman. You can make it, like, much bigger.
Yeah. They could do a lot with this. So I feel like it's absolutely a possibility. Maybe probably we'll more of a possibility.
They'll have enough content.
Some of the other stuff we've talked about recently. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So last category. Actually, second to last category. MVP.
I'm gonna go
Said Josh, so I guess I'm going to stick with that.
I think I'm going to go with Dina.
Dina? Okay.
Because she just seems like she's always trying to help people out. Yeah. Even though she's just trying to help out Sam mostly, but she's also trying to
look out for her brother and all that stuff. So, I mean, I kind of, like I said, I already said Josh. He just gave me the most serious Stranger Things vibes of everything. And I loved, like, watching him sit and talk in an AOL chat room with those old school sounds that I remember all the time. And then...
And he's like, hello, m'lady.
Exactly. And then he had the little, like, the cork board in the basement, like, with all the history and stuff. I was like, I could just totally picture myself doing something like that as a kid.
That's pretty cool,
On AOL with my dial-up modem.
Yeah.
But, Andrew, what about you?
What was the name of the girl that got her head in the bread slicer?
Oh, maybe it might have been Rachel. I don't know, actually.
I don't think it was Rachel.
I feel like she looked like a Rachel.
We can look it up.
I'll look it up.
But whatever her name is, I thought she was a very important character in the movie because she's the one that kind of gave Josh the confidence to lead the charge.
Yeah.
Like, she was like his, like,
yeah,
Robin, basically.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
That's why I was so upset when she died because I was like, oh, Kate. Yeah.
Okay, yep.
She was such a good character and was very helpful in a lot of ways and was just trying to fix the situation.
Mm.
Even when she said we should just kill this girl, Sam.
Right.
Which, looking back... Only one person would have died if he had done that.
No kidding, right? Yeah. That's kind of disappointing in a weird way.
And she's possessed again anyway.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, if they let her die, then there'd be no movie. And there'd be no best death.
Mm. It's true. True. That's true. True.
Truth. You can't nitpick these movies too much because they're meant to be nitpicked.
Right.
Also, I mentioned this briefly before. Like, you gotta say the soundtrack is a huge factor in this movie.
It was
movie.
Awesome.
Fucking Nine Inch Nails, Bush, Garbage, Cypress Hill,
I wonder if
Prodigy,
it's on Spotify. Yeah,
the
it was
Pixies,
awesome.
Soundgarden at the end, like.
Oh, and
awesome
Josh is
stuff.
Like walking through the hallway towards her.
Yeah,
and he's like, up, up, down, down.
The code, the Sega code, or whatever it is, or Nintendo
Contra?
Code. Yeah, Contra code. That's right.
Contra
sorry.
Code.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. I liked that part.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, good stuff. So normally I would ask if it's deserving of a sequel, but we know we're going to get two of them.
Yeah,
we already
I'm
have
excited.
One, and there's a second one. So I will definitely watch these other two.
Absolutely.
What about you?
Can I say one more thing?
Oh, mm-hmm. boy.
I secretly, they never say it, but I feel like, again, what's her name? Lisa?
Kate.
Was actually the girl that Josh was talking to on the internet.
Maybe.
Oh, that's a good call. I never even considered that as a possibility.
And she knows it, but he doesn't. I feel like she knows that that's him. Because there's just certain things that go on. Like, she plays dumb with certain things, but she's so quick to be like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, as if she already knows that, but she's letting him, because that's M'lady or whatever he says.
M'lady.
Interesting.
That's my
M'lady.
Theory
maybe
on
I'll
that.
Rewatch it and that piece and see.
Okay. All right.
Interesting,
Andrew. Yeah, good call. Good call. I wonder if that's a thing. Hmm. Or I wonder if that will be paid off in one of the future movies.
Right. There's got to be something behind it.
Yeah,
it can't
I would
just
think
be
so.
There.
Who's that random person he's talking to on AOL?
Yeah, that's a good point.
On AOL Instant Messenger or in a chat room, whatever the fuck he's in. Yeah. All right, cool. Guys, any final thoughts on Fear Street Part 1, 1995?
I'm excited to keep watching them.
Yeah?
It did enough to make me want to watch the second one.
I agree.
Oh, really? You're going to watch the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Almost watched it back to back, but I didn't want to go too aggressive.
Yeah. I know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it was a big win for Netflix. It's doing well. It's, like I said, kind of the buzz of everything on Twitter and social media right now.
It's very entertaining. It's
entertaining.
It's
movie.
Entertaining.
Yeah, I had a good time watching.
You don't have to think about it too much. You just put it on, you watch it, you can not pay attention.
You're not watching
minutes,
The Exorcist, you're not watching fucking, you know,
it wasn't really thriller edge of your seat pants. Like, it's just an enjoyable
watch. It's like you
watch.
Said, it's that very
like,
Stranger Things vibe to it. It's
hold
just kind of like...
A thriller edge of your seat pants?
I don't
is that what you said?
Find it to be that. Isn't that why? It's like a thriller, like the edge of your
that
seat.
That sounds like when someone's trying to drown you in a lobster case.
Oh my god. Like if,
edge of your seat, like a white knuckle thrill
what did I
ride.
Say?
Thriller
will,
edge of your seat.
You will
pants.
Find out.
Maybe that's a
thriller
little thriller
edge of your seat. Pants.
Dyslexic talk cat.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yikes.
All right.
Otis, you don't approve either? No.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. All right. Well, if there's nothing further, I think it's going to put a bow on this bitch. This has been another episode of America's Hometown Horror. It's good to be back, guys. I have missed hanging out in the studio, talking with you, talking some horror. Good couple of weeks off, but good to be back in the set.
Yeah.
Back in the saddle again.
You're all about the inside jokes with the Aerosmith.
How is that an inside joke?
I mean, all these
Jack
like
Chop.
Little,
I mean, it's a
Jack
well, no,
Chop.
That, but you just said back in the saddle
again. Yeah, it's
again.
A it's an Aerosmith song.
We did. I did the rolling. We do that all the time. That's what we do. It's not an inside joke. It's an inside joke if you've never heard the song.
That's true.
Fair.
Which most people
or would be an inside joke if it was a joke between the three of us that nobody else knew about.
First off, it's not a joke because it's really not that funny.
Oh my god.
So
thanks, Andrew. Appreciate that.
I was talking about what I say.
No, it's a song.
Me going rolling, that's not funny. That's just me being an
too.
Idiot with Tourette's.
My god.
I do not have Tourette's, nor do I besmirch anyone that has Tourette's.
Of course. We would never. So if you're interested in more of what we have to say here at America's Hometown Horror, you can check out our website. That's our latest edition. Just go to ahhpod.com. That's apod.com. That is our newest addition to the interwebs. You can also find us on YouTube and Facebook. Just go on both those platforms and search for America's Hometown Horror. You can find all of our episodes there on YouTube, and you can find all of our posts on Facebook, as well as Twitter, at Hometown Horror. You can find us there, and on Instagram, which is where we post the most frequently, at Hometown Horror Pod.
The postest with the mostest.
The postest with the mostest, baby. You can also drop us a line at hometownhorrorpodcast@gmail.com, and you can find our show pretty much anywhere that you get your podcasts. But, you know, specifically Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spreaker, and wherever else you may get your shows. My name is Mike. This has been another episode of America's Hometown Horror. Thanks so much for tuning in. We always appreciate you listening. And once again, I have been joined by my esteemed co-hosts, Andrew and Kat, and my not-so-esteemed pain-in-the-ass dog, Otis, the official hound dog of America's Hometown Horror Podcast, at the Spooky Hound Dog on Instagram. Say goodbye to your listeners, folks.
Adios.
See you on the streets, kids.
Yeah. Good evening. Bye, buddy. Bye, buddy. Hey everyone, it's Mike from America's Hometown Horror, and just wanted to say thank you again for listening to another episode of our show, because of course, we would be nothing without you listeners. If you are interested in more local Plymouth podcasts, I would highly recommend you check out some shows by our cohorts on the Inebriart Podcast Network. That's right, the Inebriart Podcast Network, folks. In addition to America's Hometown Horror, you can find the Inebriart Podcast, Bar Talk, Theme Park Legends, Retro Redoctopus, and Old Colony Cast. Head on over and give them a listen.